Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 869 in Isleta Pueblo, I'm Tara Gatewood. Sometimes family and friends are shocked when their loved one comes out as LGBTQ or Two-Spirit. Other times, it's confirmation for something people knew all along. Either way, it can be a difficult process, but one many people say is necessary for realizing their true identity. June is Pride Month, and we're taking the occasion to hear from Native LGBTQ and Two-Spirit people about the importance of coming out. We go live right after National Native News. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska started Juneau's only licensed fireworks retail shop last year. Tribal officials followed along as municipal officials developed new restrictions on fireworks, but parts of the proposal butted up against the tribe's sovereignty and nearly drove it to court. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
Tlingit and Haida tribal officials were outraged when some Juneau officials brushed aside the tribe's assertion of its sovereignty on the land where it runs its fireworks shop. At one meeting, a Juneau assembly member and city attorney essentially said there is no Indian country in Juneau. Tlingit and Haida President Richard Peterson said that felt like a personal attack on the tribe.
It's about the most irresponsible and incorrect statement I've heard. It's offensive.
Peterson says the tribe is selling fireworks on Indian allotment land that is also Indian country, where tribal sovereignty is clear. However, Tlingit and Haida doesn't own the land, it leases it. City's attorney has said that arrangement means the tribe's sovereignty there may not be clear-cut. Juneau Assemblymember Lauren Jones pushed to have the city's sales tax apply to the tribe's fireworks sales there.
We all are going to be impacted by every firework they sell. It's going to impact every place in this community, and we should collect some revenue for the response to that impact.
President Peterson bristled at the suggestion that the tribe doesn't contribute enough to the community.
You want to be good neighbors and good partners? You don't come at us with racist, ignorant statements like you want to now tax an Indian allotment, which you can't. So good luck on that. We'll see you in court. That's how I feel about it.
He said the tribe is responsible for hundreds of jobs and millions of dollars of economic impact in the community. Ultimately, the Juneau Assembly voted against trying to tax the tribe's fireworks sales. Only Jones voted yes. Tlingit and Haida plans to reopen Smoke Signals fireworks in mid-June. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
There are calls for the cancellation of Canada Day celebrations in July. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, they come more than a week after the discovery of remains of 215 children were found at a former residential school.
The Idle No More group has posted the call on social media, arguing that it should be a day to reflect on the injustices suffered by Indigenous people. The post on Facebook reads, "Canada remains a country that's foundation was built on the genocide of Indigenous nations. The organization is planning protests in Vancouver and in several locations in Ontario on July the 1st. It says advocates and supporters refuse to sit idle while Canada's violent history is celebrated." Less than 2 weeks ago, the remains of 250 Native children were found at the site of a former residential school in British Columbia. The government-funded, church-run schools that operated for more than 100 years from the late 1800s were an attempt to assimilate Native children into white society. Thousands of children were physically, sexually, and emotionally abused. Many died. Now many First Nations are calling for the Catholic Church to take responsibility for its role in the residential schools. Rallies have been held across the country calling on the church to step up. Brianna Olson-Pitawanakwat organized a rally in Toronto.
Give all the documents up. Give all of the capacity for these schools to be searched and for more bodies of children to be found and finally laid to rest in a proper way.
On the weekend, Pope Francis expressed sorrow for the children who died at the residential schools, but there was no formal apology. Phil Fontaine, a former national chief of the Assembly of First Nations, says he believes there will be an apology and it might even happen in Canada.
That would be quite appropriate given the very sad and tragic circumstances that we've learned about in the past week.
Meanwhile, Native advocates are also calling for a national day of mourning for all those who died at residential schools, as well as survivors and their families. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Native National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. For Native Americans affected by domestic violence, the Strong Hearts Native Helpline offers peer-to-peer support and resources. It's safe, confidential, and toll-free at 844-7-NATIVE. Program support by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center. Support by the Sanoski Chambers Law Firm, championing tribal sovereignty and defending Native American rights since 1976, with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, coming to you live from my homelands of Sherwood-Tuy. Coming out as LGBTQ or Two-Spirit is often an important milestone. It means coming to terms with one's own sexuality or gender identity and sharing it with family and other important people in one's life. It can be both difficult and liberating. Some are greeted with love, acceptance, and support. Others face rejection or even violence. As a part of Pride Month, we're talking about what it means to come out as an Indigenous LGBTQ or Two-Spirit person. And we have some people on the line with us from the Native LGBTQ2 community who are also going to share some of their coming out stories. And you can join us too. Are you out? You can share your story with us on these Native airwaves. Also, has someone you know come out to you? How did you respond? Join our conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And joining us today from Casamero Lake, New Mexico, is Manny Lowley, and he is a storyteller, and he is Diné. Our pleasure to have him here with us today. Manny, welcome to Native America Calling.
Oh, Yat'e, thank you for having me.
And Manny, thank you for being here with us. And you know what? I think we want to start off with a poem because that takes us to an important moment in your life and choosing to share more about your identity. So Manny, let's start with your first poem that you have, when you wrote when you were in first grade.
Thank you. I had a teacher in first grade who did a poetry project called The Power of Poetry. And so here's the poem I wrote in first grade. I would like to see a rat dancing with a bat. I would like to see mice playing with dice. I would like to see a boy with a boy. I would like to see a llama with pajamas. And the class, we were experimenting with rhyme in poetry. And even at that young age, I had a line in there, I would like to see a boy with a boy. And so it was apparent from a very young age that I identified as a member of the LGBTQ community.
And so, Manny, when did you decide to share this with others?
So the poetry project was a part of a class project, and my mom had read it. And I remember we didn't really have a conversation about it, but it was something that I think was apparent from a very young age. And my family is the type of family that is very supportive of my identity. I think the issue was when I went to school and other kids in my class had read this poem as well. And I remember getting a lot of ridicule for it and getting called names and things like that. But home was always my safe space.
And so, Manny, when a person decides to share their identity, if they are either LGBTQ2, what is the response? Do you think it's different than outside communities?
I think it can be a mixture. I know that one of the things in school that people got teased for a lot was being queer, was being LGBTQ. And there are some families on the reservation, on the Navajo Nation. I know some of my friends who came out as LGBTQ, and they were actually like shunned, or their families disowned them. But I think it's a mixed bag of reactions. And the thing that my family always talks about is that this identifying as LGBTQ or even Two-Spirit, like, that has been a part of our culture for a very long time.
And a lot of that in different communities has been suppressed. And Manny, your thoughts that you were told, and what age were you told about this, that there was a place in tribal identity?
I think the conversation really started for me around third or fourth grade. I remember that was the time when my own mother, who was an educator at the time in middle school, she was trying to stress that cultural identity was important and that our cultural identity had a place for people that were Two-Spirit and that were LGBTQ. So I think it was the third or fourth grade.
And so, Manny, I'm starting to understand your story more, and it sounds like there was not necessarily a specific moment or day when you came out to people, but it seems right along as you were growing up, you were educated about a role of LGBTQ in tribal communities and then getting acceptance. Am I getting that right?
Yes. It was more incremental. It wasn't like there was one defining moment where I openly stated that I was gay. It was more so different family members speaking to me at different ceremonies or different family gatherings. And also there was a different kind of role and responsibility that was expected of me in my community. At any ceremony or any gathering, you see gay people, LGBTQ people, fulfilling this certain role of, like, cultural responsibility. Like, I remember my male cousins growing up, they would be working outside or doing other things outside, and I would be in the kitchen or doing something else with my aunts and my grandmother, because that was just the expectation.
And so, Manny, what would you like to say to those who have yet to come out or share their identity, their full identity with those around them, and just things you've learned about the importance of your own identity and what it means? Is there anything you'd like to share with those folks?
Yes. I would just like to tell anybody that hasn't come out or is thinking of coming out that despite what some people might say about culture or anything like that, there is a place in our Indigenous cultures that value and respect and love and accept LGBTQ people. And it is a scary thing to have to come to terms with yourself and to love yourself. But at the end of the day, that's what matters most, is that you love yourself and that you have people that you can rely on to support you. And there is a place for you in Indigenous cultures.
And Manny, anything specific to tell young people?
For any young people, I think that it matters to find allies, to find people that will support you and accept you no matter what. And there are people like that out there. It may not seem that way in K-12, in elementary or middle school, or even high school, but in college, it's a different story. It's a more accepting place, and just have hope.
And Manny, being able to share your identity as a young person, how do you think that developed or helped you be the person you are today? Has it brought you more confidence, you know, being able to express this outwardly from such a young age?
I would say so. I think there's a difference between people that identify as LGBTQ who can pass for straight and those who cannot pass for straight. I'm a person that cannot pass for straight. I have a feminine voice, feminine demeanor. And so anywhere I go, it's like a process of coming out again. And sometimes that's met with some tension and other times it's not. And so I've had to learn throughout my life to be comfortable with who I am, to be proud of who I am, and to represent myself in a way that upholds my own identity, but also the values that my family has instilled in me as well.
Well, Manny, I do appreciate you sharing your story with us today. Maybe you have some words for Manny. You can call in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We look forward to your calls and even your stories, too. Again, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And a lot of times we discuss the importance of identity and how it also shapes and forms our place in the community. And when we talk about identifying as an LGBTQ2 spirit person, what are your thoughts when you share this identity? And Manny talked about growing up with an understanding that there is a place for people who identify LGBTQ2. And what about in your own community? Is there something you were taught about a space that is held for people who identify this way? You can give us a ring. We look forward to your calls. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And speaking about sharing this part of your identity, maybe this is something that you have gone through and you want to share some thoughts and maybe even some advice to others about things to consider. And also when it comes to sharing this personal side of your life, what are your thoughts? How much do you want to share? How much should you have to? And you can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We're going to meet a couple of more folks on the line with us today who are going to share their story of coming out, sharing their identity, and also what it means to encourage others to share their stories. And when this kind of identity is revealed, what kind of things do you, as a person who has shared this part of your identity, what are things that would help make the environment safer? If there's anything you want to share, you can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And if you want to call in anonymously, you can. That option goes for any day we do our program, not just today, but just a reminder, if you care to call in anonymously, you can. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And again, if you would like to share your coming out story with us, you can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Or if today you're just going to use the day to educate yourself and hear personal stories from different people from our native LGBTQ community, we appreciate you listening. And if you are finding this in our podcast, you can also post your thoughts directly on our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com, or you can tweet them to us at 1-800-99-NATIVE, which is also our number. So go ahead and dial in now. We're ready for you. Good information is key for Native men to maintain their health. From heart disease, cancer, and unintended injuries, the Mayo Clinic says the main health threats for men are preventable. We'll get some advice on how men can live healthier, longer lives on the next Native America Calling. We hope you'll join us.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a no-charge, 24/7, confidential and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the Chat Now icon on StrongHeartsHelpline.org. This program is supported by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Masota Pueblo. It's Pride Month, and we're talking about coming out today. And how did you choose to tell your loved ones? You can join our conversation and share your coming out story if you want by calling 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And here with us on the line today from Casimiro Lake, New Mexico, is Manny Lowley, and he is a storyteller, and he is Diné. He's also a poet. And Manny, you have another piece that you prepared for us that I think opens up a lot of great space and also gives a lot of encouragement. And sometimes that encouragement is needed to share your identity. And so I want to go ahead and turn it back to you if you can share that piece with us.
Okay, great. Thank you. A part of the piece is in Diné and a part of it is in English. And I'll explain briefly afterwards the Diné portion. When we emerged, Bluebird was singing, they say. Look, Shema said, Nle doli de wuji yakat sita. Her lips pointed to our left off the dirt road. I couldn't see the bluebird she saw, only a field of gray-green desert brush, cactus with bulbous pink fruit, and small hills of dirt pocked with prairie dog homes. Where, I asked, shading my eyes from the sun. She pointed towards Chamisa farther out, their spiny green arms branching upwards into golden clusters swaying in a cool breeze. The scent of sage and yucca blossoms reached us. A bluebird stood out atop the brush, wings like a deep turquoise river slicked down its back, and a dark brown beak sang joyously. A song, Shema said, rang out in the beginning of this world. She began. Hodeya da doli hatkas jin, but ah dot isn't a hayis kongo nahadlingo dot ish. Nle tis kake doli yit ako, sisna jin haseya, ade di in the ne bikinya, ade di in the ne shijet hadzi, bizad a nadan betsira yeradgo, tadadin be a hajongo nahadlingo shijet hadzi. Getcha, Eason Stan, Sisna Jinne, the cargo, Hojon, she's a hot eh, Dibe Nansa, Dibe Nashed Zil Dolish, Dibe Sheina Nashed it Dolish, Dibe Nahajon Dolish. Dolly, Shema said, is a bird of peace. Dolly reminds us that we, as Nehokat the Yendane, can find peace within ourselves. No one can give you that. You have to be the one to seek it out. You have to be the one to say, I am worthy of peace and beauty and harmony and love. This is what it means to be human. And so the Navajo portion of that piece, thank you. The Navajo portion of that piece talks about a story about Bluebird ascending each of the sacred mountains. And when he comes back down, he carries these teachings of peace and harmony and self-acceptance.
And so, Manny, that speaks of having that encouragement of acceptance. And any thoughts about how this poem might even help those who are considering coming out to their family or loved ones or even people in their work circle? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I find a lot of strength from the stories that we've inherited from our ancestors. And I think although these stories don't grapple with issues in the same kind of understanding that we have now, I think there's a lot to gain from them in terms of strength and hope and guidance. And I think the poem that I shared, the image of Bluebird, we've all seen bluebirds or we've seen a bluebird somewhere in our lives. And I think we can draw hope from that. And that's a real world experience. Like, bluebirds are real living beings. And so that's what I would say to anybody that's dealing with self-acceptance or coming out, is that rely on the stories, rely on your family, and you'll get through anything.
Thank you for that. If you'd like to talk with Manny, dial in now. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. Also here, too, with us on the line out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, is Maddie Jim, and she is a trans advocate. And Danae, our pleasure to have her here with us. Maddie, thank you for joining us for another Native America Calling. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
And Maddie, we know you work with a lot of folks here in the Albuquerque area and other places, too. And Maddie, understanding sharing one's identity is really important, and a lot of times the term is used, coming out. Anything you want to share about this time in a person's life and sharing this part of their identity?
To me, I think coming out is very important, depending on how it's done. Sometimes coming out is a natural process where sometimes friends or family are supportive. But you also have the opposite end of that, where sometimes people could be intentionally outing someone, or could do it viciously, or could do it unacceptedly, and could cause challenges in a person's life, could even be detrimental too. So this coming out process is very, very important on how one comes out and how one does that. And then also it's about the identity also too, because I remember when I first came out, I was at treatment and I came out to my mother as gay first, because there wasn't the term transgender when I first came out. So I told my mom I was gay. And about 4 years later, when I started doing advocacy work, the word transgender came about, and that's what I identified with. And I felt that I was who I was as a person, so I identified as a trans person. And after all these years of doing advocacy, we've seen a lot of people come out in different ways with different identities, trans women, trans men, LGBTQ, two-spirit, or non-binary, gender non-conforming. So there's a lot of identities of how one comes out to whoever they love. And also with coming out, sometimes it can be very stressful because you don't know the reactions of how a person can take it. And so a lot of times when somebody talks to us about coming out and struggling with it, we try to give them a good pep talk or give some scenarios of how things would go if this were to happen. If we feel that the coming out process would be hard with someone, that if there's a safety net for the person to look into, or does this person have support system that they look into other than the person who may not accept them. So a coming out process could be stressful, and it could go anyway to someone. So for me, when I told my mom, she kind of said, "Oh, I already knew," which which was comforting to me, but I'm like, okay, why didn't you tell me a long time ago? So I could have been more of myself and having to stress with that. So that was my coming out process.
And Maddie, you just said something, that I could have been more myself, and holding that back. What does that do to a person?
It causes a lot of anguish, like sometimes holds back on potentials. Like for me, what I meant by holding back is that I could have been more out. I could have been more free. I could have been dressing the way I wanted to. I could have been probably doing trans advocacy when I was a teenager. But because my dad wasn't accepting of me and my lifestyle, that it held me back and created a lot of fear, created a lot of anxiety. And I was fearful because my dad wasn't so nice. So having to deal with that and having to live through that caused a lot of anxiety. And I think for me, if I were to be a lot more free when I was growing up, to see others who I saw that were accepted and grow up how they wanted to, I think it would have been a lot easier for me. I think a lot more not stressful. And I think my directions and what I did and how I carried myself would have changed also. So I had to learn a lot of empowerment and a lot of self-acceptance, and being Maddie to this day at a later age, when I think at a younger age, it would have been more instilled if I was accepted way before when I came out.
And Maddie, deciding who you tell is also another part of this. And your thoughts of when you do come out, who you tell?
I would come out to somebody who you know, who you think that probably already knows, and who you think could be supportive. But sometimes, even in that sense, sometimes it may not go so well because who knows what that person thinks. A lot of times we hear people say, "Oh, if I had a child that was gay, I'd be accepting." But when it comes time to that, and it does happen, sometimes it may not go that way. So every situation is different. I think every situation that we get into coming out, it all depends on who we surround ourselves by. And I think just finding supportive friends or be around people who could talk to you about how to come out, or who could listen to your stories of ways that you want to come out, but it's hard for you. Because sometimes it could be easy for somebody to come out, and you could get people who coach you and say, just come out. It'll be okay. But not knowing the family dynamics or not knowing what's going on at home and stuff. So how do we be understanding in that? And how do we empower one person to come out and be who they are and be accepting of it and be supportive? Because that person may not be living with us. That person may not be part of our household. So if we're encouraging somebody to come out, we have to step back and think, how can I be more supportive in this this type of situation where this person doesn't have to go through challenges or even create trauma. Because sometimes trauma can be created. Sometimes people are kicked out of their houses for coming out, or sometimes people are ostracized out of different places. And people who go to church who are gay or lesbian are ostracized sometimes out of their religious institutions of coming out. So there's different things that people experience in different ways that I think we have to look at in this topic.
And Maddie, when a person decides to tell somebody, they're telling that person, not every person that person knows, right? Any thoughts about this, of making these choices? And you said earlier of people who out somebody without, I guess, their permission. Talk to me about that dynamic and what it does to a person who is ready to share their identity.
There have been situations where somebody was outed involuntarily. Somebody found out on Facebook, or somebody found out on social media, or they were told that so-and-so was gay or so-and-so was bi, that the automatic assumptions were there, or they would tell other people, or they would go and tell family members, or they would just go and tell people of things that are happening. And I think sometimes it happens because of spite, or people get into arguments, or people don't like each other. Sometimes a person's outed involuntarily, and that could cause harm to the person because the family may not be accepting, or friends may not be accepting. And depending on the whole situation, even sometimes somebody could do self-harm because of being outed involuntarily. So a lot of times, and that's what I mean by we have to step back and really look at how we do things, because sometimes people do it viciously. We're in a day and age where lateral oppression happens, or oppression happens, that people will do things hastily and want to out somebody and don't realize this could cause harm to a person. And sometimes that may be their intention. So I think the coming out process for a person should be just like identifying. It's a self-identifying term. It should be only up to that person on how they identify. And the same thing with coming out is that person should be given that freedom to come out how they want to and how they want to express themselves in coming out, rather than doing it voluntarily. And I think people who do it intentionally and viciously, like asking that question, like, why do I want to do this to this person? Why do I want to harm them in this way? Yeah.
Good words to consider. Thank you for that, Maddie Jim. Any thoughts for her? You can dial in 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and take a call. We're going to say hi to Hank, who is in Taos, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Thanks for giving us a ring, Hank. You're on air.
Awesome. Thank you. First, I have to express my undying love and respect for Maddie Jim, who loves to educate people and bring people into a knowingness they didn't have before. I wanted to share my stories about coming out hundreds of times, because I was lucky enough to get AIDS and then hook into this program where I went all around the school to do HIV prevention. And when you do HIV prevention, of course, gayness, the sexuality comes out. And so I got to do that again and again in almost all the school districts in the whole state. And I was lucky enough when I did that, talk about that loud in classrooms, where kids would come to me after and want to come out or want to express their confusion about the sexuality. Also had many teachers butt against me and tell me that the H and HIV was for homos. And it was an incredible thing to be able to come out again and again and again and to see the reactions. Because when you're in front of a classroom, you're trying to teach these kids how to protect themselves and respect themselves. Because when I was a young gay man, I was told that I was a piece of crap and I would suffer eternal damnation. And I believed it. And all my choices were based on that belief. So when I was able to be out loud with it in those classrooms of young people, you know, when you're in a classroom of young people, they just want you to be happy and they just love you no matter what. But the grown-ups around there sometimes had issues. And it was a funny juxtaposition, I guess, of people, this whole classroom that people would love you, and maybe a shop teacher or health teacher that was like, you never deny, or all these old things. Which, of course, I would just integrate and talk about how we're going to suffer. Like Maddie said, you're going to encounter different people that are just going to love you no matter what, and people that want you to suffer eternal damnation. But I've always been able to turn those people, those negative people, into part of the goodness, because they show us how not to be. And so that's all I wanted to say, and say hey to Maddie.
Well, Hank, we're glad you said that. And Maddie, real quick, anything you want to tell Hank?
Oh, Hank, it's so good to hear you, and thank you for those words. I really appreciate you. I remember the first time I met you years ago at the Mountain Center, and did a lot of great work there and did a lot of education. So I'm blessed to know you.
Thank you for that. And we'll continue the conversation here. And, you know, also thinking about when a person decides to come out, maybe they are definitely, you know, very secure in their identity. And what's holding them back is how people are going to react. If that's something you'd like to comment on, you can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And of course, if you have anything for our two guests who are on the line with us today, you can call in. And if you have any thoughts, questions, dial in. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And if you would like to share your coming out story, you can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Maybe a member of your family came out to you. What would you like to share about that experience? And maybe you have some good advice for us too. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. And often we hear the people that people come out first to their parents, their mothers, their fathers. If you are a parent and want to share some thoughts about when your child came out to you as LGBTQ2, we want to hear from you too. You can share some thoughts. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. We'll keep the phone lines open and definitely look forward to your stories and questions too. Phone lines are open. 1-800-996-2848.
Support by Amerind, Indian Country's 100% tribally owned insurance partner. Amerind works with tribal governments and their business enterprises to provide effective commercial insurance coverage, strengthen Native American communities, protect tribal sovereignty, and help keep dollars in Indian Country. More information on property, liability, workers' compensation, and commercial auto solutions at Amerind.com. That's Amerind.com.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, and we are focusing on coming out as LGBTQ2. And if there is something you would like to add to the conversation, we are at 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And with us today from Albuquerque, New Mexico, is Maddie Jim, and she is a trans advocate. She is Dene. Also here, too, from Casimiro Lake, New Mexico, is Manny Lowley. And he is a storyteller, and he is Dene. Thank you both for being here with us. And also on the line out of Farmington, New Mexico, is Lady Shook. She appeared on the Emmy-nominated HBO show, We're Here. And she is Dene. Our pleasure to have her here with us today. Thank you for joining us for another Native America Calling, Lady Shook.
Hello. Thank you, Native American Calling, for having me again. It's been 5 years since I've been on this lovely broadcast, and hello to all my Indigenous folks. Pleasure to be here.
Well, thanks for being here. And Lady Shug, I'm hearing both Maddie and Manny's stories. Is there anything you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, both their stories were truly like how I was raised on our territory of the Diné territory and of our culture. But I know that there's a lot of relatives that sometimes may feel different and kind of difficult to come out, especially if you're not really knowledgeable about your culture or your traditions. Because I kind of had that. I didn't have a traditional upbringing, only on my my biological dad's side of the family. And the elders that used to teach me our cultures and traditions left very, very early. So I kind of had to come out to myself firstly with self-love and self-worth. But then, like my two relatives that are on the line with us, my family kind of already knew of who I was and how I was. So I really didn't have like a coming out where I had to sit down, you know, with my family to let them know, you know, this is who I was. It was just natural for me. it wasn't until I became an adult where I was wanting to be more vocal about who I was, and been very fortunate to come out again as a older person, as non-binary, as we're coming into this society of different pronouns and identifications and expression. I come out now recently as a non-binary Indigenous person, and a lot has to do with that, with the art form of drag. I'm very fortunate to have a platform in the art form of drag, and that's gave me a lot of power and encouragement to be who I am, and also encourage other people to do that, especially as Indigenous people. Our stories are valid. You know, most of the time, all of our stories are never going to be the same. We all have different paths and different struggles and different stories to tell. So for you to come out, I would say, you know, a lot of self-love within yourself, but then also, you know, I also had to rely back on to my family. But one thing that's really great about being in the drag community is there's a big time where you can create your own family. And even if you don't have the support of your family or your chosen family, as Indigenous people, we have Father Sky and Mother Earth to rely on. And so I did a lot of that, and even just talking to water, because water is emotion, she's life. I used to always convey myself, you know, back to the land, and I always knew that there was some kind of energy and love support from those three families that I have. And I just want to encourage anybody, especially our Indigenous community, to know that there are people, and it might not be human people, but, you know, we have emotions and we have the land to fall back on.
And Lady Sugar, I want to go back to something you said earlier about coming out to yourself. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I never really got into having or wanting to be identified or be given a label. I identify as a human. I'm a person. And it took me a really long time. It took me about 30 plus years to figure that out. And of course, I, like everyone that's going to deal with a lot of negative stuff, I'm not going to sugarcoat it and tell you it's going to be easy, you know, coming out or even just being who you are as LGBTQ2 spirit. Not going to be easy. So for me just to even feel different within my community before, like, the term non-binary came out, I still didn't identify as gay or trans or bi. I was just me, and that's how I wanted people to see me. And so with my struggles and with, you know, heartache and even, you know, positivity stuff that happened to me in my life, success and love and support that I've gained over these years, I finally found my comfort and coming out to myself saying, you know what, you don't need to prove to anyone or let anyone know this is what I identify as, or this is me as a person. And I think after I did that and I was comfortable to stand proud and strong to identify as non-binary, I think that just made me become a stronger person, have a louder voice, and also just have a bigger heart, not only for myself, but for my community and my people.
And Lady Sug on stage has provided a space for you to become confident with all this or gain more understanding of your place in the world. Talk to me about using the stage to celebrate who you are.
Yeah, I'm very blessed that I stumbled across the stage because I never planned to be in the spotlight. I was a very shy, timid boy, especially living in a very isolated area on our territory. And the stage found me, and it just gave me power and strength. It's something that I encourage everybody to do, you know, whether it's karaoke or singing or poetry or anything in the arts. I encourage you to do that. Get in front of the stage, show your art, your expression. It's an experience that no one can explain or you can read in a textbook. It's a feeling, it's an emotion, it's an empowerment. And the stage, you know, saved my life. And one thing, talking about coming out stories, I was very excited. After I was featured on the HBO series We're Here, which you can stream on HBO, I had a 50-year-old relative reach out to me, and he told me, because he said, I saw you on HBO, and he said, after 57 years, I finally came out, you know, to my mom and my dad. And he said, I've always been ashamed to come out because there was never like a strong presence, or there's never been somebody that was looked like us, talked like us on mainstream media. And so my presence, apparently, alongside my other relatives that was on the series, inspired him to come out to his family after 57 years. And I can tell you, I actually talked to this relative about 2 months ago, and he's and has a boyfriend now, doing amazing. So it's not even just for our young folks. It's also for our elders that might have not had their encouragement or the support or even the push to say, you know what, we're here, we've always been here, and it's okay to be you.
Well, thank you for that. And maybe you want to talk directly to Lady Shook, dial in now, 1-800-996-2848. Also, something that I guess came along too with We're Here is thinking about sharing identity in small towns and those dynamics. Is there anything you want to share about that, Lady Shug, especially about coming out?
Yeah, especially for us relatives that live, you know, on our territories. They're very small. You know, for me, I have to drive. Thousands and hundreds of miles to, you know, go to a center or be a part of a pride or a gathering. You know, we don't really see a lot of gatherings on our indigenous territories. So I want you guys to know that there are people like myself and Maddie and people in the community that are trying to break down the walls and make it more fluid and make it more of a presence of indigenous LGBTQ two-spirit people, that we're here and we've always been here. As you heard in the beginning of the program, we've always been in the stories, we've always been in the ceremonies, we've always been there to be the caregivers as well as the providers and in healthcare, and also now hopefully in mainstream media and in the arts. And I want you guys to know that there are people there, and I also encourage you, if you're timid, pray about it. Pray to Mother Earth, pray to water. If you don't have the strength to talk to your family or your friends, always remember that you can rely on to the earth, because that's what I did, and it's got me through a lot. So it doesn't matter if you're from a small town or small reservation or in a big city, your voice is valid. And it doesn't matter who you love or important. It's just important that you know that you're loved.
And Lady Shug, also want to get your advice to young people about any of this.
Yeah, I kind of touched on it just a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you it's going to be easy. It's going to be hard. But always remember that you have yourself. You have self-worth in your person that you're going to become. And just, I know it sounds so cliche, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And once you get that light, I mean, hey, I'm talking to you right now, 30 years later, I finally feel like I found my light. Once you find that support and that love and that strength within yourself coming out, being who you are, being proud of who you are, being proud of where you come from, you're going to enjoy life more. You're going to see things differently. You're going to appreciate things differently. And so just hang in there, and it does get better. And always remember, especially as Indigenous people, you are sacred, and your story is valid. Don't let anybody tell you differently.
All right. Thank you for that. I got a caller on the line who'd like to share some thoughts. Natalia gave us a ring out of Anchorage, Alaska. Thank you for giving us a ring, Natalia. You're on air.
Hi. I wanted to know what the hopes are with the types of resources that you'd like to see in the community for LGBTQ+.
All right. Thank you for that. And Lady Shug, start us off. Anything you want to share?
I'm sorry. I only got like half of that question.
Resources, where people can turn to. Any thoughts?
Yeah, there's national resources on there, but also, you know, we have very few on our indigenous communities and reservations and territories. But also, us as a community, come together, create these spaces. I know that here in Farmington, I worked really close with Identity Inc., which is one of the first gay centers that we have in the Four Corners area, but unfortunately due to COVID, we lost that space and we're trying to create some more. So I would say if you can't find anything locally or even nationally, because I know sometimes nationally as Indigenous people, it's hard for us to kind of relate to stories or be opened as Indigenous people. So I would say, you know, get your family together, get your friends together, create community and create spaces. I think that's how we move forward.
Thank you for that. And Maddie, anything to offer? Maddie Jim on the line with us. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? I think there's a lot of like resources out there, like Lady Shug said, nationally, locally. We're in the age of social media, Google, Googling resources. I know that there are a lot of initiatives happening now where our Native communities and different tribes are recognizing that there is LGBTQ community and how to work with them. So we have a group of dedicated people who are doing like trainings for service providers and how to work with our LGBTQ communities and looking at our community, also our history. Lady Shug brought up a good point of the roles that we have as Native people, even coming out is like a Western concept. Identity is our Western concept. Before colonization, we were accepted and really didn't have to come out because we were party people. And a friend shared that with me this morning about how the word coming out was a Western term also, which is true, before colonization. So really looking back on the history of how we come out and stuff. So going back to today with resources, there are different resources that are happening within our communities. Like people are probably not aware of our transgender clinic that we have at GINC in Gallup, New Mexico, that's run by Dr. Wei, phenomenal in doing healthcare with our trans populations. And that being done across the nation and looking at how to work with our Native people in healthcare, with trans healthcare. So those initiatives are being done. And I think a lot of times when we start it, we don't really like go out and publicize it. So there are things being done. I think it's just researching it and try to find them and look out for them. And I know in Alaska, there's very few resources out there in working with the community of LGBTQ, but there is a start on how we can do trainings or how we can get those implemented and started too.
Thank you for that. Also here, too, is Manny Lowley. And Manny, anything you want to add?
I think I agree with what has been said already, but I also think that resources also exist in the family. The resources that I've been able to gain support from are like my aunts and my uncles. So definitely finding people in your own family that can be that system of support for you and uplift you. And also, the Indian Health Service has been a tremendous resource for me in terms of like mental health and getting some kind of like counseling for stress and things like that. So I definitely would say consulting like traditional practitioners and mental health experts at the Indian Health Service, because we don't talk about that in Native communities. We don't do a lot of work talking about mental health issues, and sometimes it's stigmatized. And so I think that's also a valuable resource.
And you know what, Manny, we got to wrap things up. Great advice. And maybe there's something you'd like to offer in terms of resources. Post it on our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com. Thank you to everybody we heard from in the hour, Manny Lowley, Maddie Jim, and Lady Shook. I'm Tara Gatewood. Join us tomorrow for another program.
Support by Western Governors University, an online university for working adults and underserved populations. At WGU, students apply what they already know, learn at their own pace, and graduate sooner with little or no debt. With bachelor's and master's degree programs in four fields, business, IT, teaching, and health professions, including nursing. Information and application at wgu.edu/degrees.
Ah, restspuk ni. Et puut enst chuhecho I. Mi kshi tus u elch quet hui cha such Mariam. Kol necht smi, chkokol tausish, tskeli such Mariam yach sachem. Chhuiment healthcare.gov. U kha chkokol tausin, 1-800-318-2596. Hiets mamit in centers kol Medicare u Medicaid services.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.